Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Thursday, August 24th. In 2015, the U.S. Departments of Interior and Agriculture completed plans to manage the greater sage-grouse's habitat across 70 million acres in 11 western states, including Colorado. Now, conservation groups are claiming that the government plans are dictated by the oil and gas industry. Eric Gladys has the story.
A document obtained by a watchdog group suggests that the U.S. Department of the Interior could be taking orders from the oil and gas industry. Jason O'Neill with the Western Values Project says his group has filed a Freedom of Information Act request for correspondence between energy industry representatives and staff who worked on Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke's sage-grouse review. O'Neill says a memo from the Western Energy Alliance bears a striking resemblance to the federal agency's plan of action.
Secretary Zinke and the review team took the recommendations of the oil and gas industry pretty much universally over other users, which include hunting community, ranching community, our agricultural community.
The leaked memo claims the current Greater Sage-Grouse Management Plan costs jobs and stunts economic growth, but O'Neill says removing protections developed by states, federal agencies, scientists, and private landowners could put the iconic bird at risk of being listed under the Endangered Species Act. He says that would cause even greater economic disruptions. The Interior Department did not respond to a request for comment before deadline. O'Neill says Secretary Zinke has also been adding oil and gas insiders to key Interior Department positions. According to his group's profiles of 63 political appointees, most are former lobbyists or have industry connections, and he says only four have experience in conservation.
And when we're put in a situation where our federal government, our largest land managing agency, is controlled by private industry, we lose the opportunity to have input in how our lands as public land owners are managed.
He points to a side-by-side comparison of the leaked memo and the Interior Department's recommendations, which O'Neill believes confirms the agency ignored the pleas of Governor Hickenlooper, several other Western governors, and other stakeholders to maintain the current sage-grouse plan. This is Eric Gladys reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
Senator Michael Bennett hosted a town hall in Aspen last week. Rocky Mountain Community Radio Exchange member KDNK in Carbondale was there. Yesterday, we heard part two of the story when Bennett addressed fracking and other environmental issues. Here is the third and final segment of KDNK's report.
During his recent town hall in Aspen, Colorado Senator Michael Bennett addressed a myriad of concerns ranging from healthcare and immigration to epidemic opioid addiction and general corruption in U.S. politics. The meeting was emotionally charged and basically supportive of Bennett's efforts and responses. When asked about Citizens United, the Supreme Court decision that allows for unlimited campaign spending from private individuals and corporations, Bennett responded,
"On a Ezra Klein podcast the other day, and he asked me, is it corrupt? Is the system corrupt? And I said, yeah, it is corrupt, which apparently was unusual for somebody in the Senate to say, but I believe it, so I said it. And I said, but one of the things that you need to understand about it is that the Supreme Court totally misunderstood what it was dealing with when it decided Citizens United. What this court missed and what has totally infected our politics is they said, okay, we're dealing with restraints on giving to campaigns. And because we've defined giving to campaigns as political speech, then we're dealing with the restraint of speech. Is that constitutional? And they said, well, first of all, we're dealing with quid pro quo corruption, which is the idea that you give me $5,000 and I go write a bill that you like. They said, well, we punish that already. That's corrupt anyway, so we can punish that. So what we must be dealing with is the appearance of corruption, and does you giving me $5,000 and my writing a bill that's consistent with your views, even though I didn't do it because you gave me the money, rise to a level that can concern us enough, in this case, to erode the First Amendment rights of billionaires to give tens of millions of dollars or whatever they want to super PACs, which is ultimately what they decided. What they completely missed in the analysis is that it's not about the appearance of corruption. It is, as you point out, about corruption. But it's not a corruption of action where you give me $5,000 and I then write a bill. It's a corruption of inaction. You want to know why this Congress can't get anything done? It's because of this. And it's not because you give me $5,000, it's because a senator who wants to say that climate change is real knows that if they say it, there's a billionaire somewhere who can write a $30 million check into their election, the next election, and that's protected speech by the First Amendment. So you ask, what are we going to do? We better send some people to Washington, they'll fix the system. At the local level, we need people that are willing to pass referenda and laws and statutes that say we're going to govern this for ourselves. And if you pay money for a political ad, you better put your name at the end of it so everybody can know who's there. But we have a long way to go to undo the damage that the Supreme Court has done. One of the things they had to do to get to their result in that case was to change a precedent of the Supreme Court from like 9 years before. And I think my constituents, many of them, would testify to the Supreme Court that there has been a huge change, fact and circumstance, since they let these billionaires give whatever they want to these campaigns. And to imagine that somehow all that money can flow in the system and not corrupt the system is such a suspension of disbelief.
For KDNK News, I'm Raleigh Burley.
Yesterday, a manhunt in Delta County led to four local schools being placed on lockdown. According to a press release issued at 9:45 Wednesday morning, officers of the Delta Police Department responded to an area of Garnet Mesa looking for Fred H. Houghton, 29, of Cedar Edge. Houghton was possibly involved in criminal activity earlier in the morning and eluded law enforcement on foot. He has several warrants for his arrest. Houghton was last seen wearing a long-sleeve green shirt, blue jeans, a black hat, and sunglasses with no shoes. Houghton is described as a Caucasian male, 6'1", about 185 pounds, with short brown hair and hazel eyes. If anyone has knowledge of his whereabouts, please notify law enforcement immediately by calling dispatch. Due to the nature of activity, Garnet Mesa Elementary School, Lincoln Elementary School, Vision School, and Delta High School were placed on lockdown for precautionary measures. According to the Delta Police Department Facebook page, at around noon, all four schools were upgraded to shelter-in-place status. That means staff and students are to remain in the facility and continue normal school activities. All doors to the outside remain secured for no entry to or exit from the school buildings. All activities remain indoors. As of Thursday morning, Houghton remained at large and may have left the area. If anyone sees him or has details regarding his whereabouts, they are urged to call Delta County Dispatch at 970-874-2015. And that is your KVNF regional newscast for Thursday. For KVNF News, my name is Eric Gould.